¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, viewers. Welcome to this very mighty teaching. And again, it is a mighty, mighty blessing from the Lord that I can share with you tremendous revelation that the Lord continues to bring forth through His Holy Spirit. The revelation that's embedded in the Word of the Lord, even about the rapture of the church and the coming of Christ the Messiah, the perfect Lamb of God. Viewers, today I want to speak specifically about some new insights that the Lord, He has given to me about the wedding of the Lamb of God. And in this case, I want to talk about the wedding of the Lamb, and specifically the title of this message is Redefining the Remnant Bride of Christ. Again, like we all know, the Lord has spoken very clearly in His Word, in the Bible, that only the perfect, spotless bride of Christ, that is holy and righteous and pure, will enter into the wedding of the Lamb of God. So surely it's a mighty opportunity for me to come into your living rooms, into your homes, offices, wherever you may be watching or listening to this from, with deeper insights, even as we dig deeper into the Word that the Lord spoke. Because today our lead scripture is going to be based on the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. And I'm going to re-examine with you this mighty, mighty scripture when the Lord Jesus Himself spoke about those that will be able to enter into the kingdom of God, into the wedding of the Lamb of God. And He spoke very clearly on the identity of those that will enter into the kingdom of God. I think that is a climax and a finality on the definition of what it takes to enter into the wedding of the Lamb of God. It's a climax and finality. Why? Because the Lord seems to have released the secret to the church as to who will enter and who will not enter. And that's why this becomes a very critical teaching at this very important time in the history of the church, even as the prophetic timeline is progressing towards the end of age. And we are all aware that the Lord has spoken with me about the wedding of the Lamb of God, and on the 1st of November, the year 2006, at about 3 a.m. in the morning, in that very sharp turning point in the history of the church, He was able, in a mighty visitation of the Lord, to open heaven and present the two golden, glorious, perfect wedding rings that are heavily adorned with the perfection of the Lord. And He placed them at the entrance to heaven in the sky. And through that He was able to speak a lot to the church, re-emphasizing the perfection of the Bride of Christ, the character of the Bride of Christ. And He spoke even about the temporal, the timing, the time, the prophetic timeline and time frame within which the church has entered. And many times I've repeated this by saying that every time there is going to be a wedding and the wedding rings are ready, that is usually a clear indication that the preparations for that wedding have been finalized. And that means that wedding is ready and that wedding can take place any time from now. Surely that is the bottom line of the message the Lord was giving, even as He was defining the quality of the Bride of Christ, the character. He was also talking about the fact that time has run out, any time the wedding can take place. Also, I've shared with you at greater length when 25 days from that special announcement I gave based on the message of the wedding rings in the sky, that on the 26th of November, the year 2006, He came back and He showed me how they asleep in the dust of the earth, the dead who were dead in Christ Jesus, will be raptured from their graves and caught up with the Lord in His glory in the sky on the day of the wedding of the Lamb of God. And then when I was preaching in Asia, again, in a repeat conversation about the rapture, the Lord at 5:38 a.m. in the morning, on the 3rd of May, the year 2007, again, He opened heaven, and at that time, 5:38, He presented the golden clock from heaven into the sky. And when I looked at the clock, I saw that it was 11:59 p.m. In other words, it was 1 minute to midnight. Now, all these conversations put together, they speak about one thing, the fact that the rapture of the church is ready, the wedding of Christ the Messiah, the Lamb of God, is ready, the preparations have been finalized, and the fact that only the Father knows the day of the wedding of the Lamb, that not even the angels in heaven or the Son of Man knows the day when this wedding will take place. The fact that that is what is embedded in the Scripture, that only the Father knows the day, coupled with the fact that the Lord is now giving revelation of the wedding rings having been prepared, of how the dead will rapture, of the clock in heaven, what the time in heaven looks like, 1 minute to midnight, that surely tells us that the Lord is sounding a warning to the church that she may prepare so she may not be caught unaware. In other words, to be on the watch, to be watchful for this mighty, irretrievable day of the rapture of the church. And that even stresses the gravity of this message I'm going to give today, when the Lord Himself talked about the wedding of the Lamb of God as being equalized, being synonymous in a parable of the 10 virgins, 5 who were foolish and failed to enter, 5 wise and entered into the banquet, the wedding of the Lamb of God. But today I want to walk with you very carefully. I'm going to dissect with you every single word the Lord spoke in this parable, because the Lord has made me now understand that inside this scripture is embedded and is hidden the secret of who makes it into the wedding of the Lamb of God. And I think that's very critical for the church, because that is the turning point. That is the age, and that is the absolute difference between those that make it and those that do not make it. So I'll start by reading the lead scripture in the book of Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. And then I'll walk you very carefully into the multifaceted dimensions of this scripture. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit will minister to you even on the requirements of the perfect bride of Christ, that here is symbolized by the 5 wise virgins. So you too may be able to wear this character and enter into the rapture. Remember, after the rapture, there is no church and there is no Holy Spirit. He is only left with the Hebrew church, so they may be able also to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, in this scripture, it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps. And if you follow this very carefully, he's talking about 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. You begin to understand that there was oil available for them, but they did not take the oil. And I'm going to get very deep today, and you'll be very astonished as to what the Lord implied here. Again, I repeat, the foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. Verse 5, he says, the bridegroom was long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Hallelujah. Verse 7, then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. Remember, all the virgins woke up, all of them, the wise and the foolish, and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones say to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. Hallelujah. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. Verse 10, he says, but while they were on the way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And remember that every time the door is shut, it is surely shut forever. We remember this very well during the time of Noah in the book of Genesis chapter 7 verse 16. When all who were coming in were male and female of all creature, all animals. And when Noah had entered in, the Bible says, and the door was shut. And the Lord shut the door. That means it is the Lord that shuts the door. We see that here also, and the door was shut. That means this is a very critical message to you, because it comes to you before the door is shut. So you surely have a window even to go into some of the character traits that the Holy Spirit is going to talk about, so you may be able to enter before the door is shut. But look at what he says, verse 11. Later the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Let us stop there. That is a very deep scripture that has everything you need to enter into the kingdom of God. First of all, what you see very clearly from this scripture is that the Lord Jesus himself, who is the bridegroom, is talking about what will happen on the day of the rapture, the day of the wedding of the Lamb. So surely this is a critical message, because it comes right from our Lord himself, the chief bridegroom. And the second thing, you see that he is equalizing, he is giving the example of the day of the wedding of the Lamb as being same as 10 virgins. And you see here he's talking about 10 virgins who set out to go meet the bridegroom. And all the 10 virgins, if you look very carefully at this scripture, they pick their lamps. All the 10 virgins pick their lamps. And the Bible says very clearly here in verse 1, who took their lamps and went out. Hallelujah. They went out, which means they stepped out of the house. They went out to meet the bridegroom. That right away tells you that the two groups, the two churches, if you want to put it, that the Lord is talking about here, the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, all of them had their lamps lit. And all of them were aware that very soon the bridegroom is coming. Hallelujah. They were aware of the prophetic timeline. The time has changed, that the end time has arrived. So you see very clearly, they take their lamps. That is the salvation of the Lord. Their lamps are lit. And now the most critical thing is this. They went out. They stepped out of the house of the Lord, to go out to meet the Lord. The other thing that you gather about this very important message the Lord gave to the church is that the waiting for the bridegroom would have to take place out in the night, in the darkness, because he comes in the midnight hour. So that tells you that there is going to be darkness out, the reason for which there was absolute necessity for them to carry the lamps. So they step out into the darkness. Hallelujah. And the other thing you see about them is that the foolish virgins, as they step out, they did not take. It's not they did not buy or they did not request for. They did not take the jar of oil. That means the oil was available to all. Hallelujah. While the wise virgins, he says very clearly here, verse 3, the foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. Verse 4, the wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. So you begin to see already what distinguished the foolish from the wise virgins is that the wise virgins were able to pick a jar of oil, each of them, as they stepped out, by the way. So you see very clearly from the word go that the Lord is talking about the end time here, and he's talking about a remnant that will have been sensitized in the Holy Spirit, even to have realized that very soon the rapture will take place, which means the chief bridegroom is going to appear very soon. He's not talking about the general church. He's talking about a minority in the church, and I'm telling you, it is a minority. It's a remnant that are sensitized enough in the Holy Spirit even to know that the wedding rings are ready, and to know that the clock in heaven reads 1 minute to midnight, and to know that, look, let us step out of the four walls and go out and wait on the bridegroom. You see what I'm talking about? This is an elite group. It's a small group, it's a minority elite that steps out. But out of that elite, it comes out very clearly in this scripture that the Lord is saying, five were foolish and five were wise. Why does Jesus use five foolish and five wise, equal number. In other words, the Lord is talking about that minority. First of all, to begin with, take the 6 billion plus on earth, with all the different religions, the atheists, the non-believing, the secular people, and then take the Pentecostal now. Forget about the Catholicism, all the other religions that are within the so-called Christian faith as being put on a very generic term. Now take those who are enlightened about the Holy Spirit and about the teachings, the pure holy teachings of the Word of God. Let's say the Pentecostal church, if you want to put it that way. Because there are even churches that don't teach about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about now the Pentecostal churches. It's an absolute minority, proportionate to the world population. Now, out of that minority that constitute the Pentecostal Bible-teaching church, Holy Spirit-believing, or believing in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they may not be infilled, but at least believing in it, or pursuing that direction, take that minority out of the global population. It's a small minority, by the way. Now, take a fraction of that that has been sensitized enough to be able to step out. That's what the Lord is talking about here. So you begin to understand that the Lord is talking about the remnant, the definition, redefining the remnant that will make the perfect bride of Christ. You see that? And surely this conversation I have with you, this scripture I'm reading today, and this revelation I'm bringing to you, even redefines the scripture of the book of Zechariah chapter 13, when he said in the whole land, he will bring judgment on the two-thirds, and the one-third, the minority that remains, he will now pass through the fire. Listen to this. The one-third, which is already a minority, he will now pass that into the fire of the Holy Spirit. Refine them like gold and silver, and test them like gold. Refine them like silver, test them like gold. Which means, take the one-third minority, pass that through the fire of the Holy Spirit, and then redefine the bride of Christ, which means the remnant of the remnant is what he's talking about here. Hallelujah. And say, those ones will be mine, and they will say, the Lord, he is our God, and I will say, they are my people. And they will call upon me, and I'll respond to them. Hallelujah. This is how sobering this is to the church. The Lord is talking about the minority within the Pentecostal churches that will be sensitized enough to know that Christ is coming soon. So they may step out. You see that? Step out of there to go in the darkness. Hallelujah. To wait on the bridegroom. And let me tell you one thing. When you look at this scripture here, you see that the bridegroom is coming in the darkness. He's not coming in the house. He's coming out there. But after taking the small minority that has separated out from the Pentecostal churches to go out in the darkness, hallelujah, the world has darkness. I'm going to define all these things for you. But to go out there, take that minority, then he says, divide it by half. Only half will enter. That's why he said, 5 and 5, 50%. Hallelujah. It is an absolute minority. It's a real remnant of the remnant. But you see very clearly that, hallelujah, that the wise virgins are able to take a jar of oil with them, while the foolish virgins do not take oil. The other thing that stands out here is that, again, if you look at what the Lord Jesus was saying here, all the virgins took a lamp of oil that was burning. Again, let me put it right. All the virgins took a lamp that was burning, wise or foolish. All the virgins went out. Hallelujah. All the virgins went to wait on the chief bridegroom who was coming in the darkness. All the virgins, because the bridegroom was a long time in coming, became drowsy. You see that? All the 10 virgins. And all the 10 virgins fell asleep. And to take it further, when the midnight hour came, look at this, somebody, all the virgins woke up. Hallelujah. And when all the virgins woke up, what did you see? All the 10 virgins had to trim their lamps, which means their lamps were going out. Their lamps were getting burnt out, which means the performance of all the 10 lamps, when it came to the midnight hour, became compromised. You see that? Which means there was a heavy requirement on the lamps at the midnight hour. We're going to talk about these things. And all the virgins trimmed their lamps. But what is amazing to me here is the fact that the midnight hour appears to be the defining moment that is now able to distinguish between the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. Because until the midnight hour, Everything happened to all the virgins. Became drowsy, fell asleep. All of them were in one accord. All of them were operating in synchrony. Until the midnight hour is when now you could see the sharp difference between the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. But let me bring it to another level. When the Lord Jesus was talking about the foolish virgins that did not enter into the kingdom of God, when our Lord Jesus was talking about the five foolish virgins that failed at the midnight hour to enter into the kingdom of God, whom was the Lord talking about? Because I strongly believe right now that the secret to entry into the kingdom of God, the secret that is embedded within the word of the Lord in the Bible on the identity of the perfect bride of Christ, is embedded and is resident in the ability of the church to receive revelation, which revelation will be able to define who these five foolish virgins were. That is where the secret for entering the kingdom of God is. It will not come from defining the wise virgins. It will come from the church being able to know that which she must avoid so she may enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And you see very clearly that there are several scenarios here I want to walk you through. Let me bring you to another level on this now. Who were these people that the Lord symbolized as the five foolish virgins? Number one, you have seen very clearly that there are several things that were happening which are very similar across the board to both the foolish and the wise virgins. Again, I repeat it to you here. All the virgins carried a lamp, and all the virgins had their lamps lit. Hallelujah. The other thing you see here is that all the virgins stepped out in the darkness. And inside that darkness out there, all the virgins were awaiting, which means they were aware that very soon the chief bridegroom, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus, would appear to take his bride. They were aware. All the virgins, we can see very clearly, in their inherent nature, in their personal being, their personal nature, in their propensity, their capacities, were not able to hold on to the waiting process. Hallelujah. That all the 10 virgins became drowsy because of the weariness, the drudgery of the waiting process, the heavy duty nature of the waiting process for the chief bridegroom. The Bible says, and the bridegroom was long time in coming. So all of them could not hold. They had a poor lagging ability, holding on ability. You see that? And all of them became drowsy, and all of them became sleepy, and indeed fell asleep. Hallelujah. But we see that all of them heard. Listen to me, somebody. This is critical for the church. All of them heard the voice of the archangel. All of them heard the announcement at the midnight hour, which announcement was announcing the coming of the bridegroom, the midnight cry. This is very tricky for the church, because we also know that the majority of the church will not even hear the voice of the archangel. You see that? The majority of the church will not even hear the trumpet call of God. We know that only those who have operated in the Holy Spirit, whose spiritual ears have been opened, will be able to hear the voice of the archangel. Because that voice is a spiritual voice. We also know that the Bible puts it very clearly that only those who have operated in the Holy Spirit, whose spiritual ears have been opened by the Holy Spirit, will be able to hear the trumpet call of God. Because that trumpet is a spiritual trumpet. Hallelujah. And those that will have their spiritual ears open, as in being able to hear the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, are an absolute minority, even in the church, by the way. You see that? Especially considering how things are moving in the church today. But out of that, we very clearly see that when all the 10 virgins have heard the voice of the archangel announcing the coming of Christ the Messiah in the rapture, hallelujah, which mighty coming is coming to take the perfect bride, all of them are able to wake up from the sleep, and all of them are able to trim their lamps. It's called the wick, kitambi, in local Swahili language in Africa, Kenya here. Which means, these lamps were burning all through, but when it comes the midnight hour, all of a sudden there is excessive load on the burning of the lamps. So they are forced to trim. Those virgins without oil, and the virgins with oil. There is a heavy load requirement, a heavy requirement on the lamps at the midnight hour. Hallelujah. So who were these five foolish virgins that even after hearing the voice of the archangel, even after hearing the trumpet call of God, were not able to enter? I believe now, based on this revelation the Lord has given me, this is the secret that the church has been awaiting, so she may be able to really define and redefine the identity of the perfect bride of Christ. So whom did the Lord Jesus symbolize by the five foolish virgins who did not take an extra jar of oil even as they stepped out to meet the chief bridegroom? Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Now listen to this. There could have been several people. I'm going to walk in the whole battery, the whole spectrum, the whole possibility, what the Lord Jesus could have implied when he spoke about the five foolish virgins. And based on what I will have said, it will come out very clearly with pinpoint accuracy whom the Lord Jesus implied. And based on your ability to identify this particular group that fails to make it, then you too can be able to avoid that which they did, so you can see the kingdom of God. And to me, I think this is a mighty day for the church. These are teachings that you don't find anywhere. You don't find in any Christian TV. You don't find in any Christian radio. I even don't have time to share with the different churches in the different nations as I bring to them the mighty announcement of the coming of our Lord Jesus in the mighty rapture of the church. So let us begin at one place here. Who are these five foolish virgins? Whom did Jesus imply here? One possibility is this. In the whole spectrum, one possibility is this. Did the Lord Jesus imply those who reject the Holy Spirit? Did he imply those outside who reject the Holy Spirit? That is just a possibility. Number two, let's move it to another level. Did he imply the Pharisees? Because remember, he was talking at that time in the presence of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because you have to remember very well that the Lord Jesus, being a prophet, he was aware that a prophet cannot be received in his hometown, even by his people. And the Lord Jesus was also very much aware of the bitter exit that he would have to make. The bitter rejection and the bitter exit. How they would mistreat him, reject him, and kill him. Hallelujah. Or was Jesus talking about the Jews? That's the broad community, the broad class. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees were just a section of the Jewish community, the Hebrew people. Was the Lord implying the Hebrew people, the Jewish people? Because you can see very clearly that at that time, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, they did not recognize him as the Messiah, which essentially means that they did not recognize the new covenant of the grace which he brought. And remember, the difference between the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins is the jar of oil. And yet we know that the jar of oil essentially stands for the consecrated olive oil, the consecrated anointing oil, stands for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And there is no way the Jewish people, the Jews, and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees would have had to receive the Holy Spirit if they did not embrace the new covenant of the grace of our Lord Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit only came through the new covenant of the grace. Hallelujah. So did Jesus imply the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Jewish people? Hallelujah. Let me bring it to another level. Who were these foolish virgins?
¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor, si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor.